Somers to Yonkers, Tarrytown to Portchester.
We've got Westchester covered.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Live from Park Sterling Realty in Bronxville, New York, Westchester Talk Radio presents Talking Real Estate with host Leah Carroll. This is Jim Cleafield speaking. Talking Real Estate is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center. Hightower Westchester, your wealth is managed to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, exceptional every day. Westchester County Office of Economic Development. Robeson, the house that service built. And Accord Therapeutics, Life Science. Don't forget, please download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store, Westchester Talk. Like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and please follow us on Instagram. You'll find us at Andrew C. Shark. And now here's your host, Leah Carroll.
Thanks, Jim. Welcome all to Talking Real Estate with Leah Carroll. I, of course, am Leah Carroll, and we are broadcasting live from Park Sterling Realty's headquarters in beautiful Bronxville Village. Park Sterling Realty services all of Westchester, Putnam, and Bronx counties. So here we are. It's 2019. Happy New Year to you all. And it's our 13th, I believe, episode of Talking Real Estate with Leah Carroll. And if you've not been able to catch all previous 12 episodes, please do go to WestchesterTalkRadio.com, look for the Talking Real Estate with Leah Carroll podcast, and you can see all of our past topics there. And we've actually labeled them so that you know what you're getting into. So if you want to hear about assessment, it says that's the assessment episode. If you want to hear about trends in interior design, you can see that. So it's very easy to navigate, and I think you'll really enjoy hearing those back issues. So here we are. I guess let me start with my usual disclaimer for real estate. All real estate is local, every house on every street in every town. So we're going to talk in generalities today, and if you have very specific questions, you should talk to your realtor. And if you don't have a realtor, you should talk to me. So 2018 ended, and what's the takeaways for 2018? It felt all year we've been talking about it. It was a robust year, but all year we talked about the tale of two markets. You know, there was the high end above a million and the mid-range below a million, and that it was a real hot seller's market in the mid-range and something of a buyer's market at the high end. There was downward pressure on pricing, inventory was high, which was complete opposite of the mid-range, where inventory was really low and buyers were lining up to buy houses, and there were bidding wars, and people were paying above asking. And so mid-range sellers did very, very well in 2018. But now, you know, the numbers are out, the official statistics. And the story they tell is interesting because it doesn't exactly feel like we've been describing it. So what do you need to know? Well, in Westchester County, the single-family house sales were actually, the number of sales were actually down 5.4%. And you say, well, how can that be? It was such a crazy high heated market. And the answer is because inventory was low. So even though everybody was scrambling to have those houses, there was fewer houses to buy. So that explains why the number of sales were down 5.4%, which means mid-range sellers, if you're thinking of selling, now's the year because inventory is still low and there are buyers still out there who didn't get to buy that house last spring. The median sale price, however, in Westchester County of single-family homes did increase, but barely. It increased less than 1%, 0.8% increase. So what does that mean? Well, that means home values were pretty steady. And it also accounts for the fact that the high end had downward pressure on pricing and the mid-range had increased pricing. So it kind of cancels each other out, and we see a nice 1% about gain in value, which is nice. I was a little worried last year. We've talked about it. Because of the frenzy at the mid-range, that man, are we heading for another bubble? You know, credit was easy to get or easier to get, and buyers were, you know, lined up in the driveway to buy homes. Not the case. You know, inventory was down, demand was up, but prices are steady. And steady is a very good thing in real estate. So I don't think we see a bubble coming at all. Condos, let's talk about you. Again, this is all of Westchester County. Condos were up 2.6% number of sales. And their median sale price increased also barely under 1%. So I would call that a very steady condo market. Now, you co-op owners out there, you guys made out fabulously. You had the best market we've seen in a decade. Co-op sales were up 10%. The number of sales, that's the number of sales of co-ops in Westchester, up 10%. And the median sale price increased a whopping 6.5%, which is terrific because, you know, co-ops really, you know, got hit terribly during the crash, and it took them a decade to find their legs and scramble back. So co-ops, we're seeing the lowest inventory of co-ops we've seen in a decade or more, and prices are up. So if you're a co-op owner and you're thinking maybe 2019 is the year, it probably is. So let's talk interest rates. You know, last year, now, oh, here's my second disclaimer. I am not a mortgage broker. I am a realtor. So if you have someone who you work with for your mortgage needs, please give him or her a call. And if you don't have someone to talk to about your mortgage needs, please do call me, and I will make sure to connect you with the right party. So that being said, I did check in with one of my favorite mortgage specialists this morning to say, you know, so his name's Kevin, by the way. So Kevin, where are we? And Kevin said, well, right now, for on a conventional 80 to 20% loan-to-value loan for someone with good credit, and that's going to be a key to this conversation, you're looking at rates in around the mid-fours. If your credit is below a 70, and again, this is generalized conversation, you need to speak about your situation, your income, your debt, your credit score with your mortgage specialist. But he said, you know, generally speaking, if you're under a 780 FICO score, you could be looking at 4 7/8, 4 3/4, so getting close to 5%. If you recall last August, I guess it was, there was a big fear about interest rates hitting 5% and going even higher. And we talked about how that would have been the highest interest rate in 30 years, you know, a long time, at least a decade. That we hadn't seen an increase like that in multiple decades. And in fact, last fall, they did break 5%. And we all said, oh, here we go. They're going up. And then they didn't. The federal government saw that the economy, they had called for a rate increase. They said the economy is stable. It's time to raise interest rates. And then the stock market, if you recall, went on the wildest roller coaster ride that it's been in a long time and ended up closing the year down. So the federal government said, you know what, let's put the brakes on that. We think the economy is not exactly where we'd like it to be to increase rates. And so they have not gone up. So, well, they've gone up and they've come down, but they haven't, we're not projecting significant increases like we were 6 months ago. So that's good for that. So here it is, spring, the spring market. I know it's still December. Your calendars say December. The groundhog last week, I think, said that we're going to have an early spring, if I recall. But traditionally in real estate, the spring market begins the Monday after Super Bowl. That's kind of what we all say. And here it is the Wednesday after Super Bowl, and it's busy. Buyers are out. Sellers are bringing their properties on the market. I'm hearing anecdotally at public open houses over the last couple of weekends that there's plenty of parties out there, 13, 20, 16 people showing up at open houses, which is great. You know, I know they're not all buyers. Sellers out there, you're saying 16 people want to buy my house. Maybe not. But the fact that you're getting traffic through them is a terrific sign. And we're bringing on new inventory and we're getting new deals put together this week and last week. And I think we're off to a strong, strong start for the 2019 spring market. So I really am excited to announce the new year. Seems like it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good for buyers. I think it's going to be good for sellers. Time will certainly tell. But if you want some real estate advice to see what you want to do this year, call your realtor. You don't have a realtor, call me, 914-337-1234. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to my friend Amy Korb. Stay tuned.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community, as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevital.com.
Welcome back to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. I, of course, am Leah Caro, and we are broadcasting live from Park Sterling Realty in beautiful Bronxville Village. Park Sterling Realty serves all of Westchester County, Putnam, and the Bronx. We just had our market update, so we know things are looking up. And I couldn't be more pleased to have my guest with me today, who is Amy Korb, who is the Executive Director of the Community Fund of Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much, Kara. Leah, for having me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about something I'm so passionate about.
And I'm excited to have you. So, you know, folks, people measure the health and vitality and vibrancy of communities 1,000 different ways. You know, I think there's always a magazine article coming out that's like, you know, top 10 cities in the U.S. or, you know, top 10 communities in Westchester County. And they measure them by recreation, transportation, air quality, you know, how many different types of vegetables can you buy at the grocery store, school districts, of course, walkability. I mean, there's 1,000 different metrics, right? But I would argue that one of the metrics for any community, and keep in mind, folks, very important, the health of your community and the vibrancy of your community absolutely has a direct correlation to the values of real estate in that community.
Agreed.
I mean, I think we can all agree to that.
Yes.
That the, you know, the communities that have the best everything have the best real estate values, right? So I would argue that one of the best ways to measure the vibrancy, health, and of any community is what is that community doing to take care of its own? When I say its own, I mean its residents, its neighbors, and not just some of its own, but all of its own. Every resident of every community needs to be cared for by its own community, right? So the Community Fund of Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe does just that. Is that right?
I mean, yes.
So I want you to tell me about, so I should also tell you, Amy's been the executive director for about 18 months.
Yes.
Yes. And she has already made so many significant changes that the Community Fund, now I'm segueing quickly, but the Community Fund of Bronxville this year, of Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe, is celebrating its centennial. Is that
yes.
right? 100 years.
100 years. As of October 2nd, 2019, we've been here 100 years in this exact community.
Helping its all of its residents.
Absolutely. The residents of Bronxville, Eastchester, and Tuckahoe.
Right, and I think that's, I mean, amazing. So congratulations for
Thank
that.
You.
It's a milestone.
Yes.
So I've been in Bronxville 27 years, and literally since the day I came here, I have been aware of and heard of the Community Fund. So it's a well-established 100-year-old local organization, but I think there's a lot of confusion about what it is you folks do out there. I don't mean I know exactly what you do,
yeah.
Because people said, you know, well, Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe, those are very affluent communities, right? What could they possibly need? Are there needy people, and what is it they need? So I'd love for you to tell us about the mission of the Community mm-hmm. Fund and who benefits from it.
Absolutely. Well, again, we've been in existence 100 years, and I'll give you a little bit of the history. We were started 100 years ago in conjunction with Lawrence Hospital, which is the local hospital here, to combat the flu epidemic. And so, which not many people know, and what's actually fascinating is one of the agencies, one of the programs we still run 100 years later is a free flu shot program in Eastchester, Tuckahoe, and Bronxville every year. So that's kind of nice. It's like a segue into what we've done in the community and all the people that we reach. So we are actually at its core a small community foundation. And so what we do is through an old-fashioned letter writing campaign, every fall we raise close to $500,000 a year from the Bronxville, Eastchester, and Tuckahoe residents. And then we give that money directly back to those three communities. So that money stays here. And we touch every resident at every point in their life from cradle to grave. And so that's really important to us too, because for us, we want to make sure that we're showing the impact to each one of those residents. And there's need from children's services, health, family, youth, and senior services. So we really are able to reach everyone.
Really getting everybody.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm so impressed by the Community Fund because, look, I'm not going to knock big giving organizations. I'm not gonna, you know, we all know the national charities, right?
Yeah.
But you've heard me say 1,000 times about shopping local, right, folks? Shop local. and, you know, and shop small. And charity begins at home.
Yes.
So I'm not discouraging you folks from making contributions to these big national organizations if that's where your passion is. But because charity does begin at home, I think every community, and certainly Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe, has a place where your dollars are needed and the impact is tangible and visible.
Correct. And people don't know that there is need in all three communities, and the need is different. I mean, I'll give you an example. One of the agencies that we support is the Counseling Center, which is right here in Bronxville. And there are many individuals that can't afford a full, full fee, with therapists. And so that's one of the agencies that we help. So we help people that can't afford to pay $300 for each therapy. There might be somebody in a crisis situation. So we cover that. So that to me is important. There's need in every single community. In fact, in Tuckahoe, there's a wonderful organization that we give over $50,000 a year to every year, and that's Eastchester Community Action Partnership. And many people don't know that there is so much need in Tuckahoe as well. They have a food pantry. They have an after-school program. So the funds that we raise from each of the residents goes directly back into those programs. Seniors, again, many people we support senior services in each of the three communities, and each of the three communities is different. And so each senior center has a different need. So the community fund raises that money and gives the money for different programming in each one of those communities. I was lucky enough to go to a holiday program in Eastchester at the Garth Road Senior Center, which we support. And I can't tell you how many people came up to me and said, what you do is wonderful, and if you didn't do what you did, we wouldn't be able to have these programs. And what's really nice is, you know, I sit in the office every day, and I get checks, and I get checks that are fairly large, but some of the most important checks are the checks for $5 and $10 from those seniors that say, thank you so much. I am a direct recipient of what you do. So it's exciting.
I love that.
It's,
I have such a soft spot and a passion for seniors as well, yeah, with senior housing and all of the work I do. And so to know that you're, and I'm totally thrilled to hear that you're doing mental health counseling,
yes,
support, because, you know, every day we turn on the TV and mental health is such a huge issue and it's still so stigmatized.
Right.
To be able to bring that to the communities, I think is wonderful. So you mentioned other charities out there in the Bronxville, Eastchester, yeah, Tuckahoe. So how does the community fund, so the community fund gets money and then gives them money? How does that work? Is there direct donations?
So what's interesting, what's I think so important about what we do is we raise the money, but then we also use local residents, volunteers, and board members to work with each one of those agencies, evaluate the grant application. So all the agencies every year write grant applications. And so what we do is I have 36 board members and I have 50 volunteers, and they cycle in and out each year, and they give of their time and they work with those nonprofits. They're introduced to those nonprofits and they give those nonprofits their expertise. So what's really kind of fascinating to me is there are so many people in the community that don't know about all these different agencies. So they work with the agencies, and then they basically, what they do is they decide, they approve the grant, they give direction to the agency, and then that money is granted through the community fund to those agencies.
Okay, so I think I get it. So if there's a bunch of 501c3 charities in,
correct,
Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe,
yes,
and so in addition to funding they may get, they can apply to the community fund for a grant.
Correct.
And so you guys are the link.
Correct. Yeah, we connect local residents to nonprofits. And part of our mission is to really be a support system, not only for our residents, but for those 501c3s, so those nonprofit organizations. And that's a very important part of our mission. And what's interesting is within the last couple of years, the organization has really tried to become much more reactive to the needs of the community. So we support 20 to 25 different agencies a year. But now what we've done is we've set aside a different type of fund that's applied for on a rolling basis. And there are more people that are open to that. So for example, something that we did last year, which reached all three communities, was we gave the village of Tuckahoe $15,000 to upgrade their basketball courts. So that's something that we haven't done in the past, but the reaction has been fantastic. So what we're really trying to do is also create programming for each of the three communities to pull those three communities together.
And that's so important. You know, those 501c3s must be thrilled to have the influx of money from the community fund.
They are.
They're probably relying so heavily on other grants, federal, state, local grants.
Correct.
Is it true that the community fund gets no grant money? All of the money you guys get to disperse to these other charities and to buy the new basketball courts and do all those really important tangible things is strictly by contribution?
Yes, it's strictly by contribution of Bronxville, East Chester, and Tuckahoe residents. So we raise money two ways. The way we raise the most money is through that annual campaign. We raise close to $500,000 a year. But as we see an increase in grant requests, for example, last year we had $550,000 in grant requests. This year we have $613,000. So it's continuing to go up. We know that we have to raise money through other ways other than this good old-fashioned letter-in campaign. So we also have events. So the event that we do every year is the golf outing, and that's obviously very important to us. And that certainly makes up for the money that we are, you know, we're kind of losing.
The shortfall.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's always a shortfall for any of you who work or volunteer with 501c3s. You know, there's always a shortfall.
Yes.
So to be able to have people help bridge that gap to you, so that you can bridge the gaps for these other organizations, is just tremendous. Let's go back to the basketball courts.
Sure.
Didn't you guys do recently a really cool event there?
So another thing that we're really trying to do, because we're trying to assess the needs of the community, and the community is consistently changing, we decided to do a program. And so to celebrate what we had done at the basketball court is we had a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, and it was the first of its kind. And what was really exciting and important for the organization is that we reach out to East Chester, Tuckahoe, and Bronxville. So When you live in one of these communities, you feel like you're almost in a silo. And so there's one organization, and that's the Community Fund, that links all those three communities together. So we had a great 3-on-3 basketball tournament, a fantastic turnout. And kids, it was 6th and 7th and 8th grade, and kids from each three of the school districts, which was great. And then at the end, which was fantastic, we had Max Pierce show up. And so Max Pierce is the newest Globetrotter. And he's a Tuckahoe resident and cares deeply about Tuckahoe. He's philanthropic, really involved in the community, and is a huge fan of the Community Fund. So him showing up and giving us a shout out on Instagram was fantastic.
Oh, that's huge. And, you know, that's just a great example, though, of what, you know, 18 months into your tenure as executive director, of one of the new programs and events you've brought to the Community Fund, because
Thank you. It really definitely
has increased visibility. I do know I'm a big supporter of your golf event every year.
You are. Thank you. Many years. Thank you, Leah.
But, you know, but that's just something new and different. And I think you have a broader reach when you do it that way.
We do. And, you know, and the way, you know, it's interesting with the foundation, you're raising money and you're giving money to those organizations that need it most. And then they, you know, they, in their sense, make the impact. But what was nice about this grant that we gave to Tuckahoe is that we felt, as an organization, we felt the impact. So it wasn't an organization feeling the impact. I really felt like residents came up to the Community Fund and said, oh, now I understand where my dollars go. Like, even though they don't always understand, they're not maybe technically tied to an individual agency, these new grants are really, I think, reinvigorating the community and having them understand the importance of the organization. So it's, and we're hoping to do more of that. I mean, for us, it's really important, again, to continuously reevaluate the needs of the community. So recently we sent out a survey to 4,000 local residents, and we're still getting input. But the survey was about what
I
do you need?
I filled in your survey.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
And I've sent it back.
Good. I mean, for us, it's really about, we're here in existence to make this a better place. So if we're not listening to the residents, we're not doing our job.
Right. It's just not blindly throwing money at things. It's
absolutely
actually identifying the need.
Correct.
And servicing the need.
Right.
And taking care of your neighbors.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And another thing that I did want to mention, which is really exciting for us, we started our partnership 100 years ago with Lawrence Hospital, and now it's NYP. It's New York Presbyterian Lawrence. And we're always trying to figure out ways to partner with them and to help them to make a bigger impact in the community. So what we are now partnering with them, they're our premier sponsor for we have a cocktail coming up, a 100th anniversary cocktail party. And so what we're doing is they're sponsoring that, but we're going to work together as a community and come up with some fantastic initiatives. And so those initiatives will really be based on drug and alcohol abuse, stress, anxiety, depression. And so we'll work with the community. So hopefully we'll be putting together a task force with residents from Eastchester, Tuckahoe, and Bronxville, and with New York Presbyterian. So we can make a big impact. And I know NYP and Lawrence can make a big impact.
So can you share with us the date of the event?
Oh, sure. Yes. So our golf outing is May 6th. It's Monday. And it's our 33rd year. And again, Leah has been a fantastic supporter for many years. So I'm super appreciative of that because again, it's the local businesses who are pulled five different directions. And so any sponsorship that we receive is very, very meaningful because we know that you're being pulled in many different directions. So thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. And you know, my biggest contribution is to not play golf. Trust me, if you asked any other golfer, they'd be like, oh, thank goodness, she's not playing.
And then we have the 100th cocktail. And so that's totally new for us. So that's exciting. That's going to be June 8th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. And I'll have social media posts and have more information on the website. We'll get that up. But those are two really exciting events for us to really celebrate 100 years. And
that's a huge milestone.
It's a huge milestone. And what's interesting is the community fund has kind of is morphed into a couple different things. And we were part of the United Way for many years. And then I think Bronxville, Eastchester, and Tuckahoe residents wanted to take that back and have more control. So that was done in the 1980s. So since the 1980s, we have been this organization that really is autonomous and we can make decisions. And it's all, again, the people making the decisions about where the money goes are all Eastchester, Tuckahoe, and Bronxville residents. And what we try and do on the board members make the final decision on where the money goes, but we really try and have a well-rounded group of Eastchester, Tuckahoe, and Bronxville residents, which I think is really important.
It's essential, absolutely. Yeah. You can't. I think nobody wants to be the recipient of charitable dollars and charitable works if they don't have become part of the process.
Correct.
Because then it kind of takes the... nobody wants charity, right? But
right.
Everybody needs a little help.
Yes.
And so when you become part of the process, it doesn't feel so much like charity in the negative connotations
yeah.
that go with it.
You know it's people helping other people.
It's people helping their neighbors.
Yeah, it's a lending hand. And that's
Absolutely.
I think that's the type of organization we are. The other thing that I wanted to mention to you is we're also trying to reach out to residents and show them we absolutely, other than giving grants, we can create some type of programming. So for example, last year, a local residence, it was very lovely of her. She opened up her home and we had one of our agencies, and that's Maxwell Institute. And Maxwell Institute is a drug and alcohol abuse rehab center. And we had somebody come and talk to a bunch of ninth grade parents about drugs, alcohol, and vaping. And so we had that in someone's house. And so what's, to me, it really then feels like a local organization. And the feedback was great. Parents were really, really pleased and they got tons of great information.
Well, that's really in touch.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that, drugs and alcohol, it's epidemic out there.
Yes.
Everybody knows that. And the vaping too.
Yeah. And the vaping too.
I mean, so that's really timely stuff.
Right.
So good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and talk about how you can help the community fund. We'll be right back.
Pasquale Ristorante is the perfect dining experience. Your favorite Italian comfort food, plus the comforts of home away from home. Pasquale Ristorante has been treating you like family for nearly 20 years. And if you need catering, Pasquale will take care of it. Pasquale Ristorante, bringing family, friends, and food together.
Pasquale Ristorante treats you just like family.
Pasquale Ristorante, 2 Putnam Avenue in Port Chester.
Look outside your window. What would you like to see? Imagine all the things that could be done to beautify your property. At Michael Labriola, we've led the field over 35 years. Our expert staff brings all their best. Give you what you need.
For more than 40 years, Michael Labriola Incorporated has provided complete landscape construction and site development services that will add beauty, enjoyment, and value to your property. Want to make some changes to your landscape this spring? Maybe extending your living space to the outdoors with a functional outdoor kitchen or adding a patio or walkway? Michael Labriola Incorporated can evaluate your property and offer creative ideas. 914-273-6530. Commercial properties always welcome. Learn more at MichaelLabriolaINC.com.
Michael Labriola, our last name is the first name in landscapes.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro. I, of course, am Leah Caro, president at Park Sterling Realty, headquartered in beautiful Bronxville Village, where we are broadcasting live. Park Sterling Realty covers all of Westchester, Putnam, and Bronx counties. With me today is Amy Korb, the executive director of the Community Fund of Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe, and we've been hearing all about the good works they do in their 100th year. So welcome back, Amy.
Thank you.
Now, folks, you may be listening and saying, well, I don't live in Bronxville, Eastchester, or Tuckahoe, so, you know, why do I care? And the answer is all of our communities, as we said before, benefit from taking care of our own. So even if you aren't a Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe resident, I guarantee you there is some charity out in your community that benefits your neighbors. So I would encourage you all to go out there and find it and do what you can to support it because, you know, don't forget, property values are tied to the health of a community, and communities are healthy when we take care of each other. Do you have any tips on finding charities in your local community or how people can do that?
I do, absolutely. There are a couple of different great ways. I mean, probably the easiest way is to Google, wherever you live, the local community foundation. And that's important for a couple of reasons. First, because they can really give you great insight on the organizations that need your help. The foundation, the local foundation might need your help, but they'll also have a great idea, especially if you're interested in something specific. If you're interested in working with seniors or with kids or with animals, they can direct you to those organizations that need your time and money and expertise. So that's probably the first place I would start.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Because I know I care deeply about the Bronxville Eastchester Community Fund, but there may be folks who live in other communities who want to help in their own backyards.
Absolutely.
Charity begins at home. But I do want to be clear that no matter where you are, the Community Fund of Bronxville, Eastchester, and Tuckahoe will be happy to have your donation.
We always will. It doesn't matter where you live.
Thank you. Because as we just talked about, you guys get zero grant money.
Correct. So everything we raise is really from private individuals.
Right.
So, and with the exception of there are local businesses. So local businesses are huge supporters of the fund. And again, we're appreciative of that.
Oh, sure. And you know, they do one of those, you've all seen them, I think, the thermometers.
Yeah.
Where you kind of, the mercury rises with the increase in the contributions. And they have one that I've been seeing literally for years.
Yes.
Over by Lawrence Hospital on the traffic circle. Bronxville, if you're not aware, has, I think, three really confusing traffic circles now. But no, we do have a traffic circle right by Lawrence Hospital, and that's where your thermometer is set up.
Correct.
And that, I think, you know, I'm not calling it corny. I'm really not.
It is
not.
Corny.
It's a little corny. But every time I drive by it, which is every day,
yeah,
I say, there's the community fund again, and look
right.
how they're doing. Wow, they need some more help.
Yes.
And it is exceptional visual.
It is. And, you know, as time goes on and we're always talking about donor demographics and what people are looking for and they're looking for more social media, those are things that are important to us. We want to make sure we're up with the times. But at the same time, it is a local organization and we're reaching so many people. And if you can see it and it's right in your neighborhood, it's going to make a big impact.
Absolutely. I think about you guys literally every day when I drive
good.
By it. Really. The awareness is huge.
Good.
So let's talk about your entire budget is comprised of contributions and donations.
Correct.
There may be people out there, whether it's Community Fund of Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe, or there's something in their backyard, where they're saying, you know, I can't afford to cut a big check. Is that, you know, what else can they do for you?
Well, you know, what's so interesting is what's most important to the Community Fund is obviously we have a certain amount of money that we need to raise so that we can support the programs and those local organizations. But really, a push point for us and what's something that's very, very important is it's all about participation. So it's not about writing the $1,000 check or the $500 check. It's writing a check. So whether it's $5 or $10, and I have to tell you again, I'm solo pretty much in the office, so I'm the one opening all those checks, and there's nothing that makes me happier than me receiving a $20 check with a recipe. I mean, I get these all the time, and it says to me, it's a local organization, people care about it. And I know if that person is writing a $25 check, they believe in the organization. They want to make a difference. So for us, it's participation. I mean, my dream would be having 100% participation in East Chester, Tuckahoe, and Bronxville. And it's less about $500,000 and it's more about 100% participation. And that's how the board feels.
I totally get that. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, if anyone's saying, well, I've been reluctant to make a contribution because it feels so small, there is nothing too small.
No. I mean, you know, for example, $25 covers daycare for one of the kids at ECAP for a day. So we've also tried to do that to have you understand, no matter what your donation, you're making an impact in some place. And so again, a $5, $10, $25, $1,000, they all do something and they all do something within our community.
So if I wanted to see a comprehensive list of the organizations that benefit where my dollars are being spent, where can I do that?
Well, you can do that at our website, which is www.thecommunityfund.org. And, you know, we're a small enough organization that I love taking phone calls. So if anyone is ever interested in understanding what we do or volunteering for the Community Fund or volunteering for one of the organizations that we touch, give me a call at 914-337-337. 8808.
Perfect.
Yes. So I'm always there. I love to talk to local residents because, again, if you feel comfortable enough calling me, that means you really care about the community. And I'm here to listen and make a difference.
That's really great. So you mentioned volunteering.
Yes.
So I want to touch on that in two different ways.
Sure.
One is, what can anyone do to help you personally in the community fund, of Bronxville, East Chester, Tuckahoe? And or you said, and I didn't know this, you will help link volunteers to the recipient organizations too?
Yeah, so that's something that we're starting to do. Again, our mission has been really pretty clear cut in we raise money and we give that money back to the organization and we give administrative support. But more and more people are reaching out to me and out to the office saying, I really want to volunteer. I want my kids to volunteer. I want us to do it together as a family. So what we're trying to do is we're going to start to create almost like a bank of volunteer opportunities that people can call in. And we're hopefully in the next couple of months going to try and do something on the website that you can go on and you can, and there's a way for you to contact each one of the agencies. They'll start to pull in volunteer opportunities and I'll be able to help facilitate and share that with people that call.
I love it. So if I really want to work with seniors, if I really want to work with kids,
yes,
if I really want to work,
we'll have opportunities for you.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Excellent. So now if someone wanted to volunteer with you, mm-hmm. so that you can tell me about what they can do for you.
Oh, there's tons to do. Well, our most highly visible and the one that we've been doing for many years is to volunteer to be an evaluator. And so we usually have like 50 local residents a year, and they come in and they're trained, and then they're given a grant application from one of our agencies, and then they meet with that agency, and they work through the grant application, they give their suggestions, and then they go back to the board and they talk about what the, you know, if the grant is appropriate. And maybe last year, I'll give you an example, there was an organization that had asked for a specific amount of money, and the evaluators felt so strongly and were able to kind of guide them, they ended up recommending that they ask for more, and they got more. So it's a really important volunteer opportunity. And again, it's something that we really want Bronxville, East Chester, and Tuckahoe residents to be a part of. Now, as we're growing and we're looking to do a little bit more programming, we're hoping to get volunteers to help us with that. So whether it's the 3-on-3 basketball tournament or something that I hadn't mentioned before, but again, many people want their children to start to volunteer or their children to understand the need in the community. So what we're hoping to do in the next year is to start a youth community fund. So it will be structured similarly to the board of the community fund. So what they'll do is they'll have volunteer opportunities on a consistent basis. They'll work with nonprofits. They'll learn about how a nonprofit operates. And then they'll also review grants. They'll fundraise, review grants, and then donate that money or grant that money to those organizations.
I love it. And, you know, it's so important that our youth understand civics and being a good citizen.
Yes.
And this is really the first step in the process. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And it's a process, which, you know, it won't be a one-off opportunity where your maybe your high schooler goes in and volunteers at a soup kitchen, which is very important, but it's nice to get
so
the big picture.
So they can put it on their college resume.
Right. It's more about you getting something out of it and learning something in the process.
And hopefully, you know, spending the rest of your life being a giver.
Right.
Especially at home.
Correct.
And so, I love the idea. You were talking about you called them the folks who go out and help, evaluators.
Evaluators.
I was going to say the folks who do the evaluating. Oh, evaluators.
I think I might ask you to be one next year.
So the evaluators actually get face-to-face, toe-to-toe, belly-to-belly with the folks running these programs.
Correct.
And I think that right there has huge value.
Yes.
So it's not just sitting around a boardroom kind of intangibly talking about these charities that have applied for money.
No.
But that you're going out on site, I imagine, right?
Yes,
and
on site.
And seeing what they do, meeting the people running the programs and meeting the recipients.
Correct. And meeting the recipients, going to the programs, meeting those individuals that are running those nonprofits, and also being able to share their perspective and their knowledge with, you know, so for example, sometimes it will have, and we have a wide array of individuals that are evaluators. And when we trained them last week, we had a training session last week. And what I said to them, and I'll say to any individual that's interested in volunteering, no matter what your perspective or your background is, you're going to be able to give something to that nonprofit. Maybe you have a fundraising background. Maybe you have a finance background. Maybe you have a management background. Maybe you have an extensive volunteering or community outreach background. Everyone has something to offer. And so, interestingly enough, when those evaluators go to the agencies are so appreciative. So they obviously need the money to in order to function, but they also get so much out of meeting with these local residents about how they can improve their organization. So it's a win-win for both the evaluator and the agency.
Absolutely. It sounds that way. And all of your evaluators come from all three communities.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. We try very hard to make sure that East Chester, Tucco, and Bronxville is represented.
Are there any of those communities right now that you're looking for bodies from?
Absolutely. You know, I'm looking for volunteers, actually. I have some East Chester volunteers. I'm looking for Tuckahoe volunteers.
Okay, Tuckahoe people, listen up. The community fund, your community fund, and that's, I think, the key to this whole conversation.
Yes.
The people who are working to make your town, village, community, neighborhood better are looking for you to help as be part of the process.
Correct.
Not just for your dollars,
right,
but for your expertise and your time.
Right.
And your dollars.
and getting the word out there too. Like, it's also important for me to be able to reach and to touch each Tuckahoe residents, because we have, you know, we have discretionary grant money to offer them. So for example, another discretionary grant that we just gave in the last week is to the Tuckahoe PTA. And now this is a new organization that we have never worked with before, but they're going to be doing a great guest speaker series on bullying. And so the community fund is able to fund that for them. And so that's a great partnership.
That's a great partnership.
Yeah, so we're looking
for... You guys are so timely. I'm so impressed by that. It's bullying. It's a drug and alcohol and vaping. I mean, everything that you see, you turn on the TV, open the newspaper, and there it is. Open the newspaper. People still do that. Scroll the newspaper. But any of the topics that you see, you guys are already there.
Yeah, and that has to do with the amount of volunteers we have. We have a very large board. We have 36 individuals from all three communities. And it's really what they're seeing out in the community. And so they're coming to us, or they're coming to me and talking about what they think is the need in the community. So it's really, you know, for me, it's very important for any resident to be able to comfortably come to me and say, listen, there's a need or there's an issue. Like, we have three or four residents, and actually from all three towns or all three villages, that feel it's really, really important to start a drug coalition. So it's something that we're looking at funding. So that, again, it's really all about the community coming to us as well and telling us what needs to be done in the community.
Right, and that's really proactive.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. Amy, tell me, again, where to reach you, your phone number, your website.
Sure. Okay, so my email is akorb@thecommunityfund.org. Our website is thecommunityfund.org. And my phone number is 914-337-8808. And please follow us on Instagram and Facebook as well. So our Instagram is the Community Fund BET, and our Facebook is the Community Fund of Bronxville, Eastchester, and Tuckahoe. And that's also a great way to see who we're impacting and what we're doing, and to, again, reach out to us and let us know what you guys, what you're looking for in the community.
Excellent. Can I make a charitable donation online?
Yes, you can. You can make it right online on our website. And eventually, I think within the next couple of weeks, we'll also have links to buying tickets for the golf outing and for the 100th anniversary gala.
That's so exciting. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You know, a year and a half into this job, you have brought a vitality to it.
Thank you.
That is just, it's just your breath of fresh air.
Oh,
and
I think
and the Community Fund is such a worthwhile organization.
Thank you.
So folks, again, would I love for you to support the Community Fund of Bronxville, Eastchester, Tuckahoe? Yeah, definitely, all day long. But if you're saying, you know what, I get the message hit home for me today, but I'm going to do that charitable giving or work in your own community in Westchester County, go for it.
Yes.
By all means, you know, if you live in Pleasantville, go see what's going on in Pleasantville or in Mount Kisco or wherever you are. But I cannot stress enough that I think the value of your real estate, but everything else about your town, really goes down to how well you treat your own citizens and your residents. And the takeaway today is just, you know, it's not about giant checks. It's about caring, and legitimately caring. So I couldn't be more delighted. We're going to talk to you next month, talking real estate with Leah Caro. Catch my March edition. March. So catch my March edition on Wednesday. What's the date? I'm looking at my programmers here. I have a date. I'll be back to you with that. Anyway, you were listening to Talking Real Estate with Leah Caro.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark Creative.